Today's scripture lesson can be found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God.
Well, I too wanted to lift up what was going on north of us and how we as Christians should be taking guidance through our faith and through our scriptures with regard to what we find in our nation with regard to issues, so many different issues, but currently we have gathering from the Department of Homeland Security, federal agents with regard to ICE. They are at our Great Lakes Naval Academy and base, with as it's been reported, something like 140 vehicles or something like that that have been called to provide parking and shelter for that, and along with something like 250 agents. Are planned on gathering there for about a month, is what they've been approved for. And those agents, many of them come from what we saw in Los Angeles, where we witnessed agents going throughout Los Angeles seeking to find, as we were originally told, those people who are immigrants to this country with criminal records so that they might be arrested and deported. But it quickly rose beyond that. And now it seems to be kind of a sweep to find people who are on an immigration status, whether they have a green card or otherwise, whether they have some form of legal residency in the United States or not. They seem to be looking for them and seeking to find all immigrants to our country. That was reinforced by our president sending a tweet out, "I love the smell of deportations in the morning." That comes from Apocalypse Now, if you've ever seen that movie. And that's a time when you have helicopters that are coming in to attack a Vietnamese village. And the character says, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning." Chicago about to find out why it is called the Department of War. And then he has helicopters. As Christians, is there a Christian response to something like this within our country, within our leadership, with the attitudes and the views of immigrants? Is there a Christian view that speaks to this? And indeed, if you do study the scriptures and you look to the scriptures to find an attitude with regard to how we as Christians are to see immigrants, there is one very clear and very prevalent attitude towards those who are aliens. It will speak of them as immigrants. And the view of the Bible, as well as Christ, is one that shouldn't surprise us, that they too are, as we heard earlier, children of God. And there's a way that you treat children of God, and there's a way you do not treat children of God if you see them as all of us as children of God. We can sing about it, but what about in reality? Are they? The scripture reading in Leviticus says something like this. And sometimes people think the Old Testament, it's really harsh and judgmental. I beg to differ. For you can find this in Leviticus. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. As a citizen among you. Do we hear this? Do churches throughout our nation bring up Leviticus and say, the neighbors or the people near us, the alien, the immigrant, we should treat them as we treat other citizens, with all the rights and various privileges that you as a citizen have? I don't hear that. Yet, why read that here in our scriptures? You shall love the alien as yourself. Uh-oh. If I am to love someone as myself, do I round them up and send them to some third-party gulag or concentration camp? Would I want that to happen to me? Of course not. But our government isn't following the dictates of our faith. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You know what it's like, essentially. You know what it's like to be poor. You know what it's like to be in a strange place, driven there out of possibly desperation. We're driven there out of poverty, driven there out of injustice that is forcing you and violence forcing you out of your home to find sanctuary in another place. You know what it was like. How did the Israelites end up in Egypt? Famine. They weren't originally a tribe of existing in Egypt. But they went to another country when they were forced to, due to deprivation of life. In Exodus, do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt, and you know how badly you were treated. How badly will we treat people now? Shall we wrestle mothers and fathers into vans as their children watch? Shall we wait around where we know that immigrants and aliens reside outside their homes, outside their church, outside the courts, waiting for them? In Deuteronomy chapter 10, he defends the causes of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreign residing among you. With the widow and the orphan, they include the alien. Give them food and clothing. Not arrest them and beat them and haul them into cages. This is what I find in the scriptures. This is what I find in my faith. This is what I find in the love of Christ to love the other. And particularly those who are vulnerable. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Again, reminding the Jews, remember, we were foreigners. Remember, we were immigrants. Remember, we were aliens. And you're to love them as you had hoped that others would have loved you. Do not deprive the foreigner or the father or the fatherless of justice. Justice. You have rights that can be violated. You have rights. And to demand a need for justice. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Oh, you want some money? Give me your coat. Pay me back. I'm holding on to the coat. These are the vulnerable. These are the poor. These are the orphans. These are the immigrants. And there's no one, these are the people who are most at risk and afraid every single day and don't believe that they can have justice, not in this world, not now. But it's saying here in our scriptures, they deserve justice as anyone else. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. I command you to do these things, to give justice, to love the orphan, the widow, the immigrant. When you are harvesting, look at some of the practices. This now speaks to some of the practices of the Israelites. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner. You got food sitting in, you have food that you're harvesting and there's some left over. Leave it. The fatherless and the widow. So that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. This is the heart. The heart of our Christian and Jewish faith. The heart of God, the commandment of God, that we are to care about people. I wonder if that is what's happening just north of us, people gathering to feed, to house, to care for the vulnerable. Or it is the armies of Egypt gathering. In Numbers, the community is to have the same rules for you and for the foreigner residing among you. Rule of law. The same rules that apply to us should apply to the immigrant. Not that there's one set of rules for us and a different one for you. You deserve the same rights and the same justice, the same rules. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. I'm not just saying this to you, I'm saying it to all generations. You and the foreigner shall be the same before the Lord. They're different. They don't belong here. They don't have the same rights as I have. Human rights. The same laws and regulations will apply both to you and to the foreigner residing among you. Here again. Is that what is happening north of us today? Oh, we're here to apply the same rights and justice. Oh, we're not going to pull you away, accuse you of something, and you have no right to go to court, and we will send you to, well, let's say El Salvador. And not to just leave you off on the street, may you find your way somewhere else. No, we're going to see to it that you're in some form of a prison. Is that the rights that you have or I have? Here in our scriptures, it says that is wrong. It is wrong. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, but you invited me in. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. These are the words of Jesus Christ. So what do we do? That I don't have an answer for. I know it's wrong. I know it. I know that Jesus has taught me that what we are seeing is not the work of God. I know it. But I am unsure as to what to do. The best I can do right now is offer a sermon. But when these troops come for people, arresting them, beating them possibly, caging them, shipping them to who knows where, what am I to do? That I'm not sure of. I wish I could tell you too what you might want to do. But this is something we all have to grapple with. To try to understand how we respond to this as Christians, as people trying to follow the ordinances, the commandments, the laws of God. And so I'd like to end, as I can, with this prayer. Let us pray.